Welcome to the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z. Welcome everybody to this week's episode of the Fade Route with DNZ. I am Z, and we got a great show for you. We're ordering up the AFC South. We're talking the USA stumbling a little bit in Tokyo, and possibly a new landing spot for Bradley Beal. But first, we have a little bit of news coming out of the NFL as Trey Lance, the number 3 overall pick, has officially signed his guaranteed contract. That's 4 years, $34.1 million. And he is set to join the 49ers at camp, leaving one of the top quarterbacks taken in the previous NFL draft to go unsigned. And of course, I'm sure you all can guess what team and what quarterback that is. It is the New York Jets and Zach Wilson, who seem to be far apart in negotiations. And this is just one of many things that have led a drama-filled offseason for Mr. Wilson. First, he was getting upstaged by his mom as reports surfaced that he was trying to offer her money to tone down her social media presence and possibly delete her Instagram after, you know, certain videos started coming out and she began to develop a following and a reputation that may have been unearned or earned more on his merit than hers. But you know how it is with influencers, that it only takes a little bit to make your name known. But this is just a bigger indictment of the Jets' issues altogether, since without Mr. Wilson, you now have two quarterbacks under contract. You have the immortal Mike White. If you know who Mike White is, good for you, because I don't. And James Morgan. Okay, now James Morgan, I know it's his second year, third year in the league. Nothing to write home about. Sixth round pick, I believe, so definitely a depth guy. In the production meeting, immediately my mind went to somehow upgrading that room with veteran presence. And for me, there's only one man, since Ryan Fitzpatrick is under contract with another team, that being the Washington football team, there's one man that I would like to see pushing Zach Wilson whenever Zach Wilson comes into camp, if Zach Wilson comes into camp, and that is the mulleted, mustachioed man of mystery from Jacksonville. That's right, Jets fans. I want the Jets to call up the Jaguars and snag Gardner Minshew. It may not be a great season, but it sure as hell would be entertaining. And here he is. I've known this guy since our days on Carousel Shoes, Flight Crew through and through, the last QB in St. John's history. What's up, D? How's it going, man? The Jets are your account? I'll give you the time.
What a disaster. Doesn't this have Matt Leinart written all over it? This is exactly what I thought about the minute I saw that there's an issue with his contract, that they can't get him signed. I immediately thought, oh my God, this is Matt Leinart all over again. Matt Leinart held out of camp. Kurt Warner winds up becoming the starting quarterback. Matt Leinart never materializes into anything. And Kurt Warner takes the team to the Super Bowl. Right? But the only problem in this story, there is no Kurt Warner. Because the morons didn't sign a veteran quarterback. How do you open camp with no quarterback? This guy needs all the reps he can get, and he's not there. Oh my gosh, you couldn't have wrote this any worse.
And, you know, I also, we want to pass along our condolences to the family of Greg Knapp, who passed away this week. So while this is just one thing on top of the other for the Jets, and with Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, you figure this season could not have gotten off to a worse start. But, so what do you think? How do they fix this? Granted, it's going to be a prolonged period before Zach Wilson gets into camp and gets reps and gets ready. Like, who is available on the free agent market or trade market that you would even entertain?
I don't know. I took a look, you know, before we came on the air, and I didn't see anybody of relevance. I reached out to some of my media contacts and saying, what's the holdup? Is it money? What is it? Apparently there's some verbiage that the quarterback side doesn't particularly like and wants it changed, and the Jets are hesitant to change it. I don't know how they could possibly hesitate. I mean, give the guy whatever he wants at this point. We got a game in 3 weeks.
Exactly.
This all comes down on the front office, man. Like, this is what we were talking about. Because do you think he would be pulling this if there was a veteran in camp? If there was a better option? Do you think this would be happening? Because I don't.
Well, I mean, it depends on the veteran, you know? If it was Mike Glennon, probably not. But I don't think he would be scared at all.
The first person I thought about, and I know he's on Chicago, but it was Andrew Dalton, not Andy Dalton, because, you know, Andrew is, you know, he's older now. We don't call him Andy anymore. He's Andrew Dalton. It's like Harry Potter. We don't call him Harry Potter anymore. We call him Harold.
He's Harold.
He's Harold Potter. Right. So that was the first guy I thought about. Like, this would have been a good quarterback to get into camp because, man, Andy Dalton is a good quarterback. They missed out on Foles. Gardner Minshew, yeah. I mean, you could talk to the Jags about him, but I can't see the Jags giving him up. That's the whole thing is, like, we're going into camp now, right? We did OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
We did mini camp. We're going into camp now. Like, teams aren't going to be so willing to give up a guy who's been running plays with them or running with them to go up, to go there. I hate to say it, Trubisky was another guy. He went and signed with Buffalo. Buffalo's not too proud. They're like, yeah, we got Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. What? Like, we talked about this during last season or at the end of last season. Why didn't you bring in Teddy Bridgewater? You made the trade with Carolina anyway. They shipped him out to, I think, Denver for like a 6th-round pick. You wouldn't have a problem right now. You can't even get looks on offense right now.
It's not a good look. No, not at all. And, like, you think about guys that are out there, veterans, like, solid veteran players that you could, you know, like, even, like a Matt Barkley. Solid but unspectacular. A career backup. Can definitely get the job done. Yeah, calling Matt Schaub for 1 year. I get it. Matt Schaub's retired.
Yeah, he's
but
not.
1 year.
He might have did it for Knapp because he played under Greg Knapp, right?
But,
you know, because I'm watching NFL Network today and I'm watching ESPN and I'm seeing the Patriots in camp. I see Mac Jones. I see Cam Newton. And then for the Jets, you just see people running out onto the field. It's like because they can't run anything right now.
It is, as usual, a clown show with this franchise, and it doesn't matter who's running it. It doesn't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Like, the Jets will jet. It's a verb at this point. The Jets are going to jet, and it doesn't matter what concessions Joe Douglas ends up making. You're not going to be able to make up for this time that he is
right,
missed.
Exactly. It's the time right now that you've missed out on. Every day counts. Dude, I'm looking through. There's nobody available. You want to give Alex Smith a call? He's not coming. Like, nobody's coming at this point. It's a mute issue.
Do you wait for the Jags to cut Tebow?
They're probably waiting for Nick Foles to get cut. Right?
Yeah.
That would make the most sense, but you don't got that kind of time.
It's time for the fade-in, where we give a nod to the trending sports stories of the week.
But one person that did show up today was Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Packers conceding to him. Is this finally over?
First things first, Aaron Rodgers, you need a haircut. You're starting to really look like Jim from The Office, and it's starting to get a little weird. But it's not over. It's just delayed. The inevitable is delayed, and the inevitable is that this is going to be an ugly, ugly divorce. The 2023 year in Rodgers' contract is going to be voided. No tags. So they're under this gentleman's agreement, the Packers can no longer tag Rodgers. Then they're going to review the situation and check in with Rodgers at the end of the year to see if he's happy with how things have progressed. They're going to adjust the contract with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room now. So that's nice. Like, you know, there's some bending there. And, you know, Randall Cobb came back. He was just reacquired in a trade. So maybe that was part of it. Maybe that wasn't. Maybe that was Brian Gutekunst saying, hey, we need a slot receiver, and Randall Cobb is as good as anybody, even though he's, you know, he's getting long in the tooth. But
that was definitely it. That was definitely a Rodgers ask.
No, it had to be. But I don't know. It's delaying the inevitable, man. Like, he wants out. They eventually want him to get out. But what's one more run?
Yeah, see, I disagree. I actually don't think he wants out. When I listened to his press conference today, it sounded like he's just upset with how the front office is managing the team. So, you know, I have two different perspectives on this, and I've been griping. I'm not sure which way I want to go, because on the one hand, I kind of get where he's coming from. Like, he's like, you know, you guys let go of veterans. You know, Jordy Nelson was a good player. Clay Matthews was a good player. Randall Cobb was a good player. Like, they were good locker room guys. We needed that. They were good core guys. They would have been helpful in the locker room. All right, I get it. Then he talked about how, you know, he wanted more input, or he wanted to be, I guess, spoken to about free agents, potential free agents. He talked about who he worked with, you know, in offseason NFL players. He felt like he would give the information to the front office and they would kind of toss it away and not pay it any mind. And then, you know, he talked about, you know, after the draft, about, you know, getting some players in, or talking about the direction of the team. And to him, it sounded like, you know, next year was going to be his last year, and then they were gonna pretty much let him go after that. And that's what he had, you know, gripes with. So on the one hand, it's like, dude, I get it. Like, you want more insight. You want to have more of a footprint on this, because it is your career, and you know, you run the offense. You're the MVP. You're one of the best quarterbacks in the game. But on the other hand, it's like, but dude, you're the player and they're the team, and ultimately they can't go with everything that you're putting forward. Like, if Michael Jordan got his way, Charles Oakley would have never left the Bulls. They would have never got Cartwright. Like, he didn't want Scottie Pippen. He wanted some other guy from North Carolina. Like, players don't always make the right decisions. Now, he's got a leg to stand on, because the Packers seem to be making the wrong decisions, but are they making the wrong decisions? I mean,
they were a grab from Kevin King away from going to the Super Bowl.
Right. They're 13-3. They're 12-4. They got to the NFC Championship game twice. Don't put it on them because you didn't get to the Super Bowl, or you didn't win the Super Bowl. So that's the gripe I have. Like, I totally understand where he's coming from. And then the worst part is he looks at Tom, right? He looked how Tom was frustrated in New England. He kept taking a pay cut. They weren't drafting the right players. He wasn't getting as much say as he wanted. Tom leaves, goes to Tampa. He tells them, hey, go get Antonio Brown. Hey, go get Leonard Fournette. Hey, go get this guy. And they do all those things, and then they win. Yeah, that's great. You're not Tom, and it doesn't always work out that way.
But what's the primary difference between Aaron Rodgers now and Tom Brady then? Tom Brady was a free agent.
Yes, true.
It's
true.
A big difference. Yes. There's a big difference.
You're right. You're right. But I think that's, I think he's frustrated because it is coming to an end. He's trying to set himself up for the next chapter. I don't think they're going to have a good year this year. I have a feeling he's going to get hurt or something's going to happen. Just, I don't know. It just seems like it's lining up towards that. And then the whole talk is going to be like, oh, should he retire? Should he play? Should they trade him? What's going to happen? Come on. You could see that, right? You could see that this is going to be the ongoing discussion all year.
No, it totally is. It's going to be Brett Favre on steroids. But the difference is that the Packers at least dressed Aaron Rodgers when Brett Favre was on the team doing his Hamlet routine. Jordan Love has not suited up. Like that is a huge question mark. I still don't know what he is. And there's a reason why they brought in Blake Bortles. But to have something, granted, he's not great.
He's not even good.
But he's a known quantity.
But look at the Packers organization. They got Rodgers. They drafted a guy last year. And they still bring in Blake Bortles. They got three quarterbacks in camp. Three legit quarterbacks in camp. Yep. Three more than the Jets do.
So what do you think? Bortles gets cut and he ends up with the Jets?
Yeah, that could possibly happen, right? But, yeah. You know, just to go back to the Rodgers thing, it's like, you know, I get where he's coming from. I totally understand what he's saying. He's frustrated and he wants a seat at the table. And I get the management's perspective. It's like, dude, you're the player and we're going to try to surround you with the best players, which we have. You're doing well. Two NFC championship games, a touchdown away from going to the Super Bowl. Like, it's hard to see his argument because it seems like the team is doing well. So, yeah, that's where we are with that.
It's hard to have a leg to stand on, like you said, just from the simple fact that they have been successful. Have they achieved the ultimate goal? No, not in years. Like, he has won. He has a chip. But for a guy of his caliber and for what the Packers have been able to do, I'd have to say it is an underperforming franchise from the simple fact that they should have more championships with Aaron Rodgers based on the talent they have and had put around him prior to the Jordy Nelson thing and then getting, you know, trying to retool on the fly, which is difficult to do. It is definitely difficult to do. And now you're adding in guys like Devin Funchess and just like the caliber of wide receivers not that great outside of Devontae Adams.
But I think they've set themselves up nicely because I think one thing the press conference did today for the Packers and for Aaron Rodgers is establish that he still wants to play football. He's still very good and he's eager and ready for the next chapter. So that's going to be very nice trade bait going into next year, or it's also going to allow him to really pick where he goes. And when he goes to this place, it's probably going to be Denver because John Elway is going to do whatever Aaron wants. It's like, sure, who do you want? Who do you want us to go get? What do you want us to do? Sure, no problem. Like, Aaron wants that situation. He wants the Tom Brady situation. And there are certain teams that are going to be willing to do that. But I've got to think in all of this that the Rams had to have made a run for him, right?
Right.
You had to imagine that they offered him stuff. You'd have to imagine that. You'd have to imagine that they reached out to the Packers and tried to get this deal done. I can't imagine that wasn't one of the things that was going on behind the scenes.
No, I mean, the Rams are in a win-now situation. They're strapped to all hell with their cap situation. They're strapped to all hell with their draft pick situation. You would figure that would be the death blow if they were able to. That's it. Like, you land Aaron Rodgers, that's the freaking death blow. But, I mean, Matthew Stafford is a fine plan B, I suppose. But that's the nature of the beast in the NFL, unfortunately, that sometimes you don't end up where you want. You don't, and you, that's just not how things
right.
work.
You don't always get a say in where you go. And granted, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, it looks like he's going to be with Green Bay for at least this season. But the Major League Baseball trading deadline teeting up. It's coming up on Friday. One guy looks like he's already on the move is Joey Gallo. Looks like he's going to the New York Yankees pending a physical. Who else do you think is going to be on the move? Who's staying? Who's going? What do you got?
Well, this is some breaking news. Let's just take a look at that deal, if you don't mind. What are the particulars, if you don't mind sharing with the group?
Looks like it's going to be trash. It's they're getting right-hand pitcher. The Texas Rangers are going to get right-hand pitcher Glenn Otto, second baseman Duran, shortstop Josh Smith, and second baseman / outfielder Trevor Haver. That's it.
For somebody who's allegedly an all-star.
Allegedly an all-star is right.
A left-handed Dave Kingman. Okay.
Swings and misses just as much as everybody else on the Yankees, so he's going to fit in very well there.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that trade.
They're getting prospects. I mean, the Rangers are getting prospects. They're getting rid of Joey Gallo. None of these – I can't believe they weren't able to work. And granted, not all the details of the deal have been released. I'm just reading this from Jeff Passan's report on Twitter. And – you know, I can't believe they couldn't swing like a Gleyber Torres or even a Herman. All they got was prospects, but it seems like Ruffin Odor and Joey Gallo weren't helping the Rangers win. So why the Yankees think they're going to help them win?
I don't know. And if you look at a deal that was actually bandied about, it was between the Padres and the Rangers, where they would get Gallo. The Padres would have gotten Gallo, but they would have had to take on Eric Hosmer. So I guess that's something that the Texas Rangers didn't necessarily want to stomach. So I get that. Eric Hosmer he's had one good year in the past 4 years, so better to go the cheap route in hopes that you actually, you know, got a diamond in the rough rather than have to contend with that level of money and a dip in performance. So I get where that's coming from. It's very much like the Chris Davis trade, when they traded Chris Davis for Elvis Andrews.
That guy.
So, yeah, and he's gone. So who knows what's going to happen? But as far as the other players that are available, I know the Yankees have been pretty busy because they just shipped out Luis Sessa and Justin Wilson to the Reds last night. Yeah. You had the Starlin Marte trade for Jesus Luzardo.
That was a big deal. That was a good trade. That was a good trade getting Marte.
That was a very good move. Very shrewd by Billy Bean. And, you know, Kim Ng, that's pretty good too, because you're buying low on Jesus Luzardo. Who's to know? Who's to say that they can't
fix
him?
Yankees missed on that. Yankees should have got Marte. I don't care.
He's right-handed, though, man. He's right-handed. That team is way too right-handed.
He fits right in with them. That's what they're trying to do, right?
Yeah. But I think that's why Gallo was critical to the Yankees, was that he is left-handed, and you can actually put him in between Judge and Stanton, and you can actually break up a little bit of the overly right-handed. The problem is that now you're going to force Giancarlo Stanton out to the outfield, and you'll probably force him onto the IL at some point because, you know, God knows, pick a muscle, he's going
to
pull it.
Well, maybe they can try to get Chris Bryant. I don't know if that's still on the table for the Yankees. But
I know he was tied to the Giants, but they don't want to give up top prospect Joey Bart. He's been linked to the Mets, but all the Cubs, with the exception of Anthony Rizzo, have been linked to the Mets.
Seems like Rizzo is staying, which is great. Oh, but but Kimbrel, I think, might go back to Boston. That sounds like a real possibility, which would be huge for them. I think Trey Turner stays. I think Max Scherzer hits the NL West. You know, he's going to get on one of those teams, whether it's the the Padres, the Giants, or the Dodgers. I think he gets on one of those teams.
Like I just have this weird feeling about Max Scherzer that he ends up in Houston. Like it just feels like Justin Verlander all over again, you know?
Yeah, which makes sense. I think that would work out. I think Chris Bryant's going to go. Kimbrel goes to Boston. I think actually Baez goes too. I'm not sure where he's. Maybe he could end up on the Dodgers, right? Because they could use the shortstop because Seager's hurt, right?
Yeah, so I mean, well, Lindor is also hurt too. So, and he has been.
Fuck that guy.
Jeez. Well, Baez. Well, here's the thing. Baez is on record saying he would like to play with Francisco Lindor. Oh. So, like, if it's a rental, the Mets may pull that deal off. Do I want Javi Baez? Not particularly. Do I want Chris Bryant? Not particularly.
I want Chris Bryant. I actually think he's a really good player. He gets hurt a lot, but he can play so many positions. That's the thing with him. Like he can play center field, left field, right field, third base, first base. He can play everywhere.
But my thing with Chris Bryant is that are you going to be able to extend him? Or is he just a pure rental? If he's just a pure rental, I don't think the juice is going to be worth the squeeze
for a team in general.
Because they're gonna want – a top prospect. The Mets is a different situation. Different situation because Ronnie Mauricio is their top prospect, and he's blocked for a decade because you have Francisco Lindor. But it depends on the situation. Depends on how much money is being exchanged. What else is going on? If this is we'll give you Kimbrel, but you have to take Bryant kind of deal, like similar to the Josh Beckett Mike Lowell trade that the Marlins and the Red Sox pulled off. It might be a little bit more palatable if they don't have to take on all the money, but we'll see how it goes. But yeah, as far as like an under the radar guy, who is an under the radar guy that you think might move?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm interested to see what the Yankees do. I mean, all indications seem that the Yankees are buyers, right? I mean, they just got Joey Gallo. Even though I really think they should be sellers, I gotta think Gleyber Torres is gonna move. I gotta think Herman's gonna move. They could both use a fresh start.
What about this? Glaber back to the Cubs for Kimbrel. Would you do that?
No. I don't really like Craig Kimbrel. I don't think he's that good. I know he's an all-star this year, and he's having a good year. I don't trust that guy at all.
And coming from a Braves fan. Coming from a Braves fan, boys and girls.
I don't trust that guy. Well, that was a good thing we got rid of that dude. I think they're going to – I guess one of the under-radar things would be if they were somehow able to unload Stanton. And the contract, just keep Cole and Judge and build around them. That's all I got. I can't see anybody else really, you know, moving that we don't already think about.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys that are noted are already moving. Like, and then you had some weird trades too, like the Kendall Graveman trade. The Mariners are aggressive.
Jerry DePoto, man.
Trader Jerry. And we definitely need to get Joe on to talk about this. But, you know, it's also weird. Both of their closers, because Montero and Kendall Graveman were their closers, and they shipped them to the Astros.
But they had a really good series, and they're not even that many games back. I mean, I know you're playing for the future, but, man, talk about shooting a man's horse down. Jeez. Really cut their legs out from under them. I mean, they were competing at a... They were competing. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to go for this thing. Guys, I think he's got a 0.82 AERA, and he's 4-0. Damn. Yeah, get him out of here.
Yeah, he's making the rest, we don't need him.
He's making the rest look bad.
As far as under-the-radar guys, like, everybody's been talked about, really. Maybe a Kenta Maeda might get moved. He's not really talked about that much because you hear more about Pineda and Barrios. But Maeda might get moved or somebody like that. But the guys that we know about are going to get moved. It's a question of when, that's for sure. And speaking of a question for when, we now know that the Cleveland Indians are no more after this season. They are now, drum roll please, the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, it's so scary.
Is that a good choice?
I'm not a fan. I'm not sure why they didn't just go with the Spiders. There's history with the Spiders. The logo would have been cool. Merchandise would have been awesome. From what I understand, the team was named after two statues on a bridge not far from the stadium. Somebody actually made a joke that they're called the Guardians because they're the legal guardians of good players before they go to the New York or Boston. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, I think it sucks. The logo sucks too. The whole thing stinks. I miss the Indians already.
Oh man, it seems lazy. It feels lazy because you have Guardians and Indians. You kept the Ians. And you just changed out the first part of the name. You kept the colors. You kept the font. The only thing that changed is the logo, which kind of looks like Thor throwing a four-seam fastball. But I don't know. Spiders was a better name. Like, pretty much anything you could have thought of is probably a better name than Guardians. It's named after the Guardians of Traffic. It's like what? It's an Art Deco statue? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's the best you could come up with? I'm sorry. That's just a lack of creativity. And, you know, there's nothing, like you said, there's nothing menacing about a guardian. I'm shaking. I am
shaking metal space boots.
Oh, my goodness. But we do have to give them credit, though. Stupid name aside, they decided they were going to change the name, and they did it, right? There was no back and forth. There's no multi-year process to get to the end result like we have in Washington with Mr. Snyder and the WFT, which may end up staying the WFT. I mean, who knows? We have
It sounds like that's what's going to happen. That's going to suck.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a soccer club. Like, granted, it's cool. It's unique for the NFL, but it's definitely not within the vein of American sports that we're used to. But credit to the Cleveland Indians, they actually did it, and they did it in a timely fashion. And they're going to roll it out next year, whether they like it, or whether we like it or not, and whether the fans like it or not. So,
are you in need of air care, maintenance, or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling, maintenance, and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you. The Indians have the city of Cleveland has their team name for next year, and the NBA is getting ready for players to come into the league for next year. The NBA draft is tomorrow night. What can we expect?
We expect Suggs and Cade Cunningham to go in the top two. I don't know if those are the teams that are going to be there. Detroit, definitely. Maybe not Houston, depending on what they can swing. Golden State, I have a feeling they are not going to be there at number seven. I just feel like it's going to be part of something bigger, whether that's a Bradley Beal trade that we're going to talk about later, potentially, or, you know, maybe they can swing something else. But I don't expect Golden State to be there. We already know that New Orleans isn't going to be there at 10. It's actually going to be Memphis, because New Orleans got Jonas Valanciunas from them, so in exchange for Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe and the number 10 overall pick. Steel. So that's a crazy trade. So, Jalen Green is an intriguing prospect, simply from the fact that he went from high school directly to the G League. So we'll see what he's actually made of and how that's valued compared to international and college experience. As far as local teams, it's hard to say, like, because neither one of them are going to be up in the top 10 anyway, so it's going to be a stretch regardless of who they get. But it's going to be a good night for the Detroit Pistons. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
they deserve one.
Outside of, you know, in basketball, usually the top five or six picks are usually pretty, they wind up being pretty good players. I think we can expect Cade Cunningham to go number one. And unlike you, I think Jalen Green is going to go number two to Houston. I think that's a done deal. I think one and two are done. After that, your guess is as good as mine. I think Jalen Suggs is good, but I don't really buy into him being NBA NBA ready yet, NBA player ready yet. I think Lonzo Ball was much better than Suggs in college, and we can see how good Lonzo is in the NBA. So I can't imagine Suggs being much better than him. Sam Presti of OKC always drafts well, so I'm curious to see if he's going to go and take James Bouknight from UConn or Jonathan Kuminga from the Congo.
They also have 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
So they can move. Like, they're fluid. They could definitely be fluid in this scenario. Same thing with Golden State. Golden State has 2 first-round picks. Memphis has multiple picks. You have the Knicks have 2. Houston has, what, 3? Like, 4? There's definitely going to be movement just from the simple fact that you're not going to draft all these guys, because the NBA draft is the only draft where you constantly see teams making moves in order to improve their position, because it's only 2 rounds. So it's one of those things that if you want to make a move, you have to make a move. You're making that move because you can't afford to wait around. So the one pick that I'm looking at right now is the 18th pick. It's owned currently by the Thunder, but it's from Miami via the Clippers, Philly, and Phoenix. So this thing's been passed around, you know, like a joint. But I figure that one's going to be in play. And as far as international players, Giddy and it's Kuminga, right? That's really the only 2 that we're looking at. Yeah, so in that regard, it's a relatively weak draft. It's going to be a stronger draft for homegrown American talent. So we'll see how it goes. But
The other thing I'd say is I think Wiseman gets traded tomorrow night. Unfortunately, he just doesn't fit into the Golden State offense. He doesn't seem to be taking to Coach Kerr's coaching either. It might be a deal where, that's just how the Warriors get Bradley Beal. I'm not sure, but I think Wiseman gets moved tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that is going to be the case. It's a square peg round hole situation. They tried to change up how they played and
it just didn't work. Yeah,
no, it didn't. And so you just, rather than try and force the situation, you deal them off and you cut your losses. But
especially since Clay is coming back, so you can go back to that rapid fire offense and get another guard in there.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to teespring.com, type The Fade Store into the search bar, and have access to our sweatshirts, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, tank tops, and much more on the way. That's teespring.com. Type in The Fade Store at the search bar and show your boys some love. Rep the Fade Route brand only at The Fade Store, only on teespring.com. And speaking of cutting losses, time to talk about the Olympics and the U.S. Olympic teams and individual performers. They've been losing a little bit. The men's basketball team lost to France. They rebounded against Iran, but frankly, that's a team they should beat. That's a team that they shouldn't even start their starters against. The women's soccer team beat the tough nation of Sweden, but then also had a draw. So they're not performing at the level that we expect them to. Katie Ledecky finished in 2nd in one of her races to her 200 meter to Titmus from Australia. So that is, it's a little bit of a disappointment. And then you have the whole Simone Biles thing from the past 2 days where she withdrew. So is this a reality check on the world stage?
Well, men's basketball team, there's just not a lot going on. You can't just chuck up threes and expect to win. Like, this isn't an NBA basketball game. They're not going to blow whistles as much as they do in the NBA. Pop doesn't seem to have command of the team. They choke down the stretch. They go 0-9, 1-8. They're not able to make baskets, and they can't, you know, close people out. I think other teams want it more than we do right now, or than the USA does. It just doesn't seem to be important to this group that they put together. There's nobody on the team right now that's willing them to victory. Even I was hearing on ESPN that, you know, Damian Lillard's really the vocal leader right now. Kevin Durant's not really stepping up into that role, and it's just like, you know, that's not going to win you games. Like, these other countries are out here to beat you. Like, they want that. That's a big deal if they're able to knock off the USA. As far as women's soccer is concerned, they're just not hungry. They seem to be playing scared. I watched them play against Australia yesterday, and both teams played it safe since they were both going to the next round, so it was an easy draw. But the women's team missed a great opportunity to, like, create some momentum, go into the next match with some fire, some aggressiveness. Instead, they just were sitting back and like, all right, we're both going. I think this is the lowest points total the U.S. is going to the next round with, which I think is like 4 or 6. I think they're gonna get bounced out. I don't think they're gonna last much longer. As far as Katie Ledecky is concerned, I'm very surprised. I'm not sure what happened. I watched her the last two Olympics, and I marvel at her ability and her speed. I watched her do the 1500 meter last night, which was crazy because it's like a 25-20 minute race. Unbelievable. Ugh. How long they do that for.
I'm cramping just listening to that.
And, you know, it just seems like she's at the end of her rope. Like, it doesn't seem like she's got much more in the tank. People are catching her. She didn't even medal in one of the races she did. So I'm really not sure what happened there, because I've seen her doing her trials, and usually she can't be touched.
Yeah, it's definitely a scenario where teams play for their country. Players play for their country a lot harder than seemingly Americans do, especially with basketball, because you're sending all NBA players, right? And they're just coming off the season. It's going to be one of those things that they're just using it as a means to stay in shape. And if they medal, they medal. You know, they're riding off the expectations. They're riding off the dream team still.
Well, I think they're also riding off the money, right? Because they're not playing for free, right?
No, they're not playing
sponsors
for free.
They're getting something out of it. It's, you know, it's not a holiday.
Yeah, but they also don't have as much skin in the game as a Katie Ledecky or a Simone Biles,
or
anybody who does this purely through sponsorships. So it's a big difference, you know. As far as Katie Ledecky goes, Titmus has been training for years specifically to get Katie Ledecky and beat Katie Ledecky. It is Ivan Drago to Rocky. Like, that is the I must break you. That is the level of focus that we're talking about here with Arian Titmus. And as far as women's soccer goes, you know, Australia is a good team. Sweden is a good team. You're playing stiffer competition, so. Yeah, you're due to lose. It's one of those things that is it sucky that it's on the Olympic stage? Yeah, but at the same time, anything can happen. That's why you play the game. As far as the Simone Biles thing, it is really starting to come to a head because it's becoming that convergence point again between sports and politics and mental health awareness and advocacy. And I feel bad for her. I definitely feel bad for her since she is not mentally into it. But at the same time, if you're not mentally into it, you picked a hell of a time to not mentally be into it. I'm not saying that she deliberately is doing it at this point, but like, this is the grandest stage you've been on, and it all fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, with Simone, I go back and forth with it. It's hard to say, you know, because, you know, she's the leader of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So when the leader comes out of the locker room and says, guys, I don't have it today, I'm not going to compete, you guys go out there and crush it, I just think that's extremely deflating. Like, imagine if Tom Brady walked in the day of the Super Bowl and was like, guys, I don't really got it today. When you guys got it, I'll be on the sidelines cheering for
you. Yeah.
Imagine the backlash that he would get for that.
Absolutely.
And you know, she's a human being. She's a person. She's allowed to have these feelings. I'm not saying she's not allowed to have them, but the reason she's there and we're not there is because supposedly she's supposed to hold up under this enormous pressure, right? That's the whole thing is like, you can, we can't. You're on this team because you can. So it's hard because, you know, it's not like, you know, she's got to jump up on a balance beam and she's got to flip in the air and twirl and she's not sure and her head's not right. You know, we don't want to see anybody get hurt.
No, absolutely not.
But sometimes that's when athletes perform the best, right? It's when they have their back up against the wall, when they are nervous, they dig deep, and they pull out a gutty performance. So I keep going back and forth on it, honestly. And mental health is definitely something. To even give it an Olympics comparison, I mean, imagine if a couple of years ago at the last Olympics, Phelps was like, guys, I just don't got it today. But I think you're going to do great. It's like, dude, we're going to lose. Like, if Phelps came out and said that, we're done. Like, we rely on you. You're our anchor. You're the guy that's going to lead us. I'm supposed to look at you and say, oh, he's good. He's cool. I got this. But if I look at you and you're not cool and you don't got this, well, how the hell am I supposed to get this shit together?
I'm getting hungry over here. Should have cooked up some dinner. And if you're looking for a new cooking show to binge, check out As You Eat It on YouTube, hosted by me, Chef Z. I invite you into my home and show you what and how I cook when I'm off the clock as a chef instructor. You're going to learn fun recipes and creative methods to empower and inspire you in the kitchen and take it to the next level. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's As You Eat It, available only on YouTube. AZ, you eat it. Check it out, and let's get cooking.
From the Olympics, let's move on to the NHL expansion draft. The Seattle Kraken have a team. They're going to be competing next season. How good will they be?
Well, they're definitely going to be solid defensively. The majority of their picks in the expansion draft were defensemen, and solid ones at that. Not many notable names. I mean, the Carey Prices of the world that were available, the, you know, Ovechkins, all the unrestricted free agents, they weren't taken because they were kind of exempt from the list. And some of the players that were kind of dangled out there weren't taken because of their free agent status. Overall, they definitely need some scoring. Yanni Gourde was drafted from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Jordan Eberle from the Islanders. Colin Blackwell was a good depth forward for the Rangers. Brandon Tanev from the Penguins. So they definitely went for a gritty, more of a grinding kind of style. They drafted Dreger from the Florida Panthers, Vanacek from the Capitals. Then they went and signed Philip Grubauer today, which is a huge deal. So their goaltending and defense are going to be solid. I just think they need more offensively. When Jonas Donskoy and Kalle Yarncroak are going to be your best offensive forwards, you need more, Chief.
Well, I mean, I'm loving the Mark Giordano pickup. I've always been a fan of his game. I like him a lot.
Giordano's solid.
I always thought he was a solid player. He had he got. Yeah. Like, seems like he's a lock for the captaincy, I'd say. Jordan Eberle from the New York Islanders, he's a good player. He's a nice pick as well. They're not going to be the Vegas Golden Knights, I don't think.
No.
But they'll compete at a high level. I think they'll be fun to watch for the city, and everyone seems to be excited about it.
Yeah, they definitely are. The one thing about the Vegas Golden Knights is that they drafted well, but then they also supplemented that with free agents. So they brought in the guys like Stastny, and they brought that initial wave in. They were able to turn that wave into other players, and that's how the Golden Knights were able to grow into the team that we see as perennial Stanley Cup contenders, even though they're only a few years removed from being an expansion team. So it's a different MO for the Seattle Kraken, and you can just see by the picks that they made that they are looking for depth players, and then they're just going to take it from there. But they're definitely going to be a solid team. Are they going to be a playoff team? Possibly. They're not going to be pushovers like many expansion teams were before them. So free agency just opened up today. They also added Jaden Schwartz from the St. Louis Blues. So they're definitely putting together a nice little roster. And this is just the beginning. Let's see where they go from there. But all in all, I could definitely see them in a 7-8 situation where they're like the second to last or last team in on the playoffs. Tough out in the first round, possibly against the Golden Knights. Like, that would be an interesting little playoff matchup for sure.
If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app. Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial sports topics right now.
All right, boys and girls, you know the rules. I give you a statement. If we agree with it, it's no shit. If we disagree with that statement, it is bullshit. Bullshit or no shit? Number one, Deshaun Watson plays before Trevor Bauer.
Man, this is such a tricky one, right? Because we're assuming that, you know, that Watson's gonna actually play this season, right? Maybe not sit out, maybe not get traded, like actually play. And the same thing for Trevor Bauer is like his hearing just got pushed back for his domestic violence situation. They extended his leave, so oh man, so I am going to say it's tough. I'm gonna say that Trevor Bauer plays before Deshaun Watson because I don't think Watson's gonna play this season. So I'm gonna say bullshit.
Fair enough. I'm gonna go no shit on this one for the simple fact that he's already in camp. There have been 10 legal allegations against Deshaun Watson, but he was able to come to camp. He's not on the exempt list. He's not, you know, he's not restricted in any way. So they are letting this play out. And
criminal charges filed.
No criminal charges, none whatsoever. All being taken care of in civil court. So there's within the realm of possibility that he could get to week two before anything may happen to him. So Trevor Bauer, it just feels like Major League Baseball wants this to go away and they just want to bury it. So they're just going to keep extending that administrative leave. And his own teammates don't even want him back. So that's even more telling. If you listen to Watson's teammates with the Texans, they don't waver from him. it sounds the Dodgers are like, nah, dude, he can go. We're all right. We'll go get Max Scherzer, and we'll be better.
Right.
So, for that reason, and because of the due process scenario and all this, I think it is no shit. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, Bradley Beal will be an upgrade for the Warriors. I'm going no shit on this one. From the simple fact that it's going to be a no-brainer based on who's probably going back to Washington in the other direction. If you look at what Bradley Beal has done in his career, he averages 22-4-4, right? Last year, he played out of his mind, 31-4-4. Shot almost 50% from the field. Most likely, you're looking at a scenario where it's Wiggins and Wiseman, most likely. Wiseman, 1 year in the league is what it is. Wiggins, 24-2. Beal's a definite upgrade over those guys. And it's a very interesting mix because then you put Klay Thompson back in there, right? So now you have Steph, you have Beal, and you have Thompson. That is just crazy in terms of the shooting volume as well as the field goal percentage, because Thompson is at 46% for his career. You throw in Bradley Beal, who's 46% for his career, and Steph is pretty much infinity. Like, that's going to be such a complex and dangerous team to defend that the splash triplets, they'll ascend up quickly, and they'll definitely give the Lakers, the Jazz, the Nuggets, they'll definitely be in for a run for their money.
Yeah, it's funny because even this item you got, you're also assuming that the Golden State Warriors actually get Bradley Beal. So it's a little another tricky one. I like it. But I'm going to say, yeah, no shit. Bradley Beal is an upgrade to any team he joins. If he joins Klay and the boys, they're likely to walk into the championship game. Bradley Beal can shoot. He can score. I think the Warriors, Sixers, or the Heat will land him at some point.
I mean, we'll see where it goes, because I've also heard Jimmy Butler, his name out there. Ben Simmons is not resolved. So we'll see where this ends up. And also, does the number 7 pick also move in this trade as well? If the pick goes, maybe you don't do Wiggins and the pick. Maybe you just do Wiseman and the pick. I don't know. You'd have to kind of play with it. Maybe there's a third team involved. That's the thing about the NBA trades. Like, there's always it always starts in one part and just expands. And like, there's 4 or 5 teams, and then there's like 20 players, and money is just like so hard to follow along. And it's just like, we'll see. But if we're just talking Warriors and Wizards, I say that's a good trade.
Sounds like a movie.
Warriors and the Wizards. I like it. Maybe LeBron can be in that one too.
LeBron.
Bullshit or no shit. Number 3. Chandler Jones is making a mistake by requesting a trade.
Man, this is another tough one. I mean, I don't really understand what's going on there. You know, they have Brubaker, they got Watt, they got Butler, they got Golden, they got Simmons. Like, they have a solid defensive team. I mean, is this about money? They seem set to compete for the division title with the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. There's plenty of teams that would love to have his services, so I'm going to go with no shit. Similar to where he left with the Patriots, you don't know how good you have it until it's gone, and they have something in the desert, so I think he should stay.
That's immediately where I thought as well. I went to, you already pulled this once,
yeah,
right?
They won a championship without him. They might even win 2 without him.
Yeah, so like, dude, you're not as valuable as you think you are. And on top of that, they just brought in J.J. Watt to pair with you. You only had 1 sack in 5 games last year. So you're...
But he's good. He's good.
No, he's good.
Very good.
I'm not disputing that he's good. But you're not dealing in the highest of leverage because you're coming off a 5-game season where you only had one sack. The numbers just weren't there. So I would play in this lineup with Simmons and Baker and Watt. And then on the offensive side, you got Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green. You have the potential to be a very special and dangerous team. Don't fuck it up by chasing the short money. Chase the long money. Did he not learn from what happened in New England? He chased the short money. It's at least like Jamie Collins, he figured it out eventually. Because I mean, Bill just he relegated him to Cleveland. He banished
where
him.
He was on the team that didn't win any games.
Right. He banished Jamie Collins. So you would think Chandler Jones would learn his lesson, but who knows? Maybe lightning will strike twice and the Cardinals will win without him.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
Order up!
All right, boys and girls, we started last week. We are ordering up.
Order up, order up!
Our division picks for this coming NFL season, and we are doing the AFC South this week. So from 4-1, who you got, D?
Man, this was a really tough one, honestly. So I think Texans are going to be in the dungeon. You know, Watson, Cooks, David Johnson will not be enough, especially when you take Watson out of that equation.
It's true.
They don't have much of a defense. I don't know how they're going to score this year, so I'm going to put them in the cellar. Number 3, I think the Jags. Meyer wins a lot, and he wins fast, but not this year. They'll play well. Lawrence will shine, but the wins will come in year two. Number 2, I'm going to go with the Colts. Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, Darius Leonard, DeForest Buckner. They've got some studs. They're just, you know, they're going to be in every game. But I'm not in love with their wide receiver core, so I think they'll be good enough to finish second. And number 1 in all your hearts is the Tennessee Titans. AJ Brown, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, Ryan Tannehill. Statistically, he's been a top 5 quarterback the last 3 years. Julio Jones will be good, and they'll be good enough to win the division title. Their defense is pretty solid as well. Mike Vrabel's a jerk, but he's a good coach, so they'll be all right.
This division seems like one of the easiest to pick, just from the simple fact that we've been discussing the talent involved for so long that like it's almost impossible to kind of, you know, deviate from what we've already said about them. You and I are in agreement with the Houston Texans. Who knows if Deshaun Watson is there this year? Getting Brandon Cooks, David Johnson. David Johnson may not finish the season. Anthony Miller can't catch. They just got him from the Bears.
They lost Will Fuller.
They did lose Will Fuller. That's true. But he also got suspended, so we knew why Will Fuller was having such a great year. So, you know, the cupboard is pretty bare. The only thing that would bring that, would fill up the that cupboard is if they trade Deshaun Watson. But you're not going to get the same return for Watson with all the legal hangups and potential suspension and exempt list. That's just going to be too much for teams to you know, make word that
on,
decision.
Yeah, word on the street is they're looking for five players or picks. Yeah, I know.
No way. Like, for you can have a fifth round pick. You can have a five. I can give you a five. Done. Number three, you're looking at the Jaguars. Again, they improved, but not enough. And you're starting Trevor Lawrence. You're starting a rookie at running back, most likely. I think they're just going to go with the Clemson boys over James Robinson and Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew may not finish the season on that team.
Or camp.
Or camp. Yeah, apparently he hasn't taken a shit in 2 weeks because he doesn't like being number two. So, I don't know. That just feels like so Gardner Minshew. Like, you know, he'll go to the Jets. He'll be number one, but, you know, good for you, you know. God bless you. God bless you, Gardner Minshew. We need more people like you. That being said, yeah, the Jaguars, they're lucky if they'll sniff 500, which they can't do in a 17-game schedule. Remember that now you get to the nitty-gritty, right? Colts or Titans? Titans or Colts? They're very close. And to me, this hinges upon one player. And that's Carson Wentz. If you're telling me that you get a full season of a healthy Carson Wentz who's playing at the MVP level that he was playing at before he hurt himself and one trick Nick took his job, then they win the division. I just feel like they're more established. Their run game is there. Reich reuniting with Wentz is definitely a big factor. You need to develop the chemistry between Tannehill and Jones. It's not there yet. They haven't played yet. They just started camp. So it's not something that's instant. It needs to kind of be built upon. But if Carson Wentz's, then it's the Titans. I'm going to bank on Carson Wentz finishing the season healthy. And I'm going to put the Tennessee Titans as my number two and my Indianapolis Colts as number one. But that could easily flip in a heartbeat, but that's where I'm going as of right now. Those are our 4-1s. What's your 4-1? Hit us up, Fade Route Podcast on IG, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs at FaderouteDNZ on Twitter, and let us know where you stand.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You can catch our podcast Wednesday nights on the Anchor, Spotify, wherever, or other places where you listen to your podcast. Until next time, stay faded, everyone.
We'll talk to you next week.
If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up at Fade Route Podcast on IG, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs at Twitter at FadeRouteDNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it. We want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd.